number 13, another routine environment and fertile ground for mentoring is the church context. We are all aware that pastors are in important positions to influence others, but sometimes we don't firmly grasp just how much the pastor influences. As a pastor, your behaviors and attitudes communicate to others all around you, and your leadership position brings with it the role of example setter for others to emulate. Being a pastor is far more than preaching a sermon on Sunday morning. And knowing that about 75% of all American churches are right at around 100 people means that highly relational contexts are the norm for pastors. So mentoring can occur with great impact in the smaller church context, or we might even say in the average or the normal church context, since a large portion of those churches are right around 100. You know, pastors aren't the only ones who can mentor. Anyone in the church can mentor. How you support your church, how you respond to the messages, your attitude toward leadership, how you serve in ministry, and we could go on, all communicate messages to others. You see, there is never a time when you are not communicating something. Dropping the kids off for Sunday school while mom and dad go out for coffee communicates disinterest. Falling asleep during the morning service rarely inspires others. I've never known anyone to say, I want to serve Christ because Deacon Bob fell asleep during the services, and it just made me want to follow Jesus all the more. When individuals are inspiring one another, the church prospers. And often the example of another is just the type of needed inspiration to complete a task or motivate another to further service. Sometimes the example that you give could be the deciding factor in someone's life, or it could be the deciding factor in a very important decision. It is always used of God to communicate messages about God. How you behave, how you react and act in the church, all communicates messages about God. And so what are people reading from you? What kind of communication are you giving them? I will never forget an inspirational speaker who spoke during a morning service. And the message led to the congregation holding hands in a large circle as the pastor closed in prayer. And as a teenager, I wanted to watch this man who so eloquently preached. And he looked at his watch several times during the pastor's prayer, which disgusted me. And so in a typical judgmental teenager way, I thought to myself, this guy is far more concerned with getting out of here than with the wonderful response he received from the people. And so needless to say, for me, the wind was taken right out from his sail, and his previous eloquent speech had fallen on deaf ears. The church can be a powerfully routine context for influencing others. Remembering this can motivate and inspire others for future and further service. One special area of mentoring for me has been books. Books can be powerful mentors. And realizing the impact reading had upon us, for Christmas one year, my wife and I simply allotted each other a certain amount of money to purchase books. And I remember distinctly how fun it was to look through the catalogs, to narrow our choices down. We really had a great time doing that. And to our joy, it was one of the best Christmas gifts that we have ever given to one another. And when the boxes came with the books we'd ordered, we spent a good deal of that day just looking them over, talking to one another about them, and taking time to drink a cup of coffee, and then to read them and learn and grow through them. And you know what? We want to do it again some year. Words cannot begin to tell you how often I have increased my motivation, my inspiration, and my learning from books. In my study as a pastor, I would often break down into tears of confession or loud singing with thanksgiving for a new point that I'd learned or a story that touched my heart to the core. And if you're not a reader, then I encourage you to force yourself to learn to read and learn to love it, because it's powerful and it's important. Remember, too, something that the philosopher Elton Trueblood taught me. As I was touring his library in Indiana, he said, "It's not the number of books you have, but the quality of the books that count." So in essence, I'm saying to you, buy good books, ones that you can read again and again and again for continual learning and growth. It's not how many books you have, it's the quality, it's the type of books you have. Are they ones that help you grow and ones that cause you to go deeper? Let's turn our attention now to expanding the blessing of mentoring to others. One day, several young ladies in the church approached me with a concern. They read Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, which states, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored." In a genuine and sensitive spirit, they asked me why this wasn't happening in the church. They wanted to be trained. They wanted to be encouraged. They wanted to be taught how to be godly women and wives for the glory and honor of God. And they were serious. And sadly to say, as they looked around, they didn't find many willing and capable of handling such a task in the right way. As I examined the church roster, I had to concur with their conclusion. There were a few older ladies who would do a wonderful job. They would not take their task lightly, but they would seek the Lord's wisdom for building into the lives of other women. And they would have done very well. But I knew there were far too many who would use the opportunity to chastise the younger women for all the things they should be doing, but weren't. And most of those things revolved around an adherence to a personal preference rather than a biblical mandate. And this group would spend the majority of their time majoring on the minors. This episode reveals the lack of positive mentoring relationships in the average church. And I believe the problem lies not in the lack of potential mentorees, because I think there are many within the church who yearn for this. The problem lies in the lack of mentors who understand their task and their role. In the example that I just gave, there were plenty of ladies who were willing to be mentors, but there were not many who could be positive mentors. That is, those type of mentors who clearly understood their role and their task for empowerment in a positive way. When pastors understand the enabling power of mentoring relationships, they are often frustrated with how to implement mentoring on a wider basis than just themselves. They love the concept, but how do you do it? How can pastors expand mentoring beyond themselves so it takes on a greater role within the church body? Well, I want to say that there are no magical three-step formulas that I know of. Instead, there are some broad areas that play themselves out differently in each congregation. The first broad area for expanding mentoring relationships beyond oneself is the distribution of information. It is quite difficult to read someone's mind and then behave as they think you should. People respond much better when given appropriate and adequate information with time to chew, swallow, and digest the matter. As one person, how could you distribute information on mentoring? Well, there are several methods that come to mind. Probably the most visible method, reaching the most ears in the congregation, is preaching. Preach the subject. I mean, after all, it is biblical. It is something that can impact and change your congregation for Christ. Design a catchy title and preach a 4- or 8-part series on the subject. You may even want to provide outlines with plenty of room for taking notes. You may even want to have some personal testimonies involved where someone would get up and share how they've been involved in a mentoring relationship and how it has influenced them and touched their lives. Preach the series during morning services instead of the evening services. That way, you'll reach the majority of your congregation. You may want to use the evening service to go deeper into the points, to expand upon them, or to take the points you made in the morning service and have a question-answer time in the evening for those who have questions. So preaching on the subject is one method of distributing information on the subject. Realizing that congregations often reflect what occurs in leadership, it would be wise to share information with the leadership prior to preaching on the subject. In other words, get them to understand the concept of mentoring. Get them to back the importance of the subject. One way to do this is through reading books together. The elders in my church read a book once a year, and we took an evening of fellowship apart from regularly scheduled meetings to discuss the impact and the importance of the book and some things that we had learned. And since I appreciate the value of reading so much, I would have the elders read a book every quarter if I had my way. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So we read a book every year. And realizing that some individuals don't like to read, or they are unable to read at a very high level, be sensitive in choosing the number of books you read and the type of books you read. You don't want to embarrass anybody or cause it to be a negative experience. Be sure to create an atmosphere where thorough discussion occurs. To help leaders prepare for this night, you may want to provide them with several questions for their consideration prior to the meeting. For instance, at the time of passing out the books, you may want to include a study sheet with some of the following questions. What is the author's main point? In other words, you want them to grasp the big picture the author is painting. What points were most important for you and why? They don't have to choose points that you feel are important and thus please you with their answers. They answer what they feel are important points. What weaknesses do you see with the book or with the author's points? You see, just because someone has written a book doesn't mean that he or she has covered everything. This allows readers to disagree or bring up points that are important to them that possibly the author didn't fully address. Finally, you may want to ask questions that relate to them personally and to your church. How has reading this book influenced, changed, or affected you? And this allows individuals an opportunity to react personally, both positively and negatively. How does this book affect our church? Are there things we need to change? Are there things we need to address? Are there things we need to adopt or really think hard about in light of our reading? These questions help bring learning to the point of implementation. You might hear a leader say something like this: "Pastor, we really need to get our people involved in more of these types of relationships. I just didn't realize how important and powerful mentoring can be. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know what the term meant until we began to study it. Pastor, how can we get our people to be more relationally involved with each other so that they can grow?" Well, you see, this can open the door for positive discussion regarding ways and means of implementation. And as a pastor, you don't have to answer all the questions. It's a time of discussion. Someone may bring up a point that they need clarified, or they don't understand, or that they disagree with. Allow the other members in the group to respond and interact, so that the whole evening of discussion becomes a positive experience, one that is owned by each and every member that attends. Other means of distributing information might be using the book in a Sunday school class. maybe in small group gatherings, maybe using the book during a retreat. My wife began a ministry within the church to avid book readers called Book of the Every Other Month Club, kind of a takeoff of the nationally known slogan there. And 6 times a year, this group would meet for coffee and discussion about relevant and pertinent books. And not only did it provide a fellowship opportunity, but it was also a very valuable method of distributing important information. So be creative. There are probably many ways beyond the few that I have mentioned for distributing information. But just remember that access to information helps individuals respond, process, and implement the information in their lives. In addition to distributing information, modeling is another way of expanding mentoring beyond yourself. It is possible and even encouraged to be both a mentor and a mentoree at the same time. That's possible. And this allows you to mentor several at a time, perhaps in different areas. And it allows you to model continual learning and growth through being a mentoree yourself. Share your experiences with others. And by this, I do not mean that you are to share privileged information and items of confidentiality. I do not mean that. I do mean, however, to share with others that you are involved in mentoring relationships and they are having an impact upon you. Share some of your learning experiences and share maybe why these relationships have helped you. This sharing may open doors for you to direct and guide someone else into a mentoring relationship. As they would say to themselves, "That sounds great. I wish I had someone like that that could help me. I really need to learn this." And you may be able to open the door of mentoring relationships to them. Encouraging and maintaining an attitude of learning within the church helps to expand the mentoring concept. Although this is difficult to achieve, an atmosphere that is open to continual growth and learning is primed for mentoring relationships. Intellectually speaking, most congregations would agree that there is a need for continual growth. I don't think you would find a congregation that would say verbally, "Nope, sorry, we know it all and we don't need to grow. We have reached the pinnacle of knowledge and we will not come down." But I believe that experientially, some congregations are about as open to growth and learning as a closed door. And I have been in churches where the congregation has the doctrine down pat. But experientially, in the lives and relationships within the congregation, there is a closing of spirits to one another. When a church corporately says, "God, we're not where you want us to be. Would you please help our church and each individual within our body to experience and maintain soft, teachable, and pliable hearts that are ever seeking to know you more fully and in deeper ways." Oh, man, that type of an attitude is conducive for mentoring relationships to flourish. Does your congregation or the congregation, the church that you attend, have this type of teachable attitude, this soft, pliable attitude that wants to learn and grow in their love for God and their relationship with each other. If you do, you have a congregation that is very primed for mentoring relationships to flourish.